Hello, dear listeners, and thanks for listening to Master English with Tim, the podcast where Tim helps you master English by showing you the language in depth and detail. This week, I'm reporting to you from Singapore, where I've taken a short and spontaneous vacation with my family. I'm sure that I will give you at least one episode about this trip in the future. But right now, we are on the fourth episode of my mini course on the English verb tenses. For the past three lessons, I've talked about modal verbs. And this week's lesson is the last lesson on that topic. So, congratulations if you've listened to every episode in the series from 52 to 53 and 54, and now through to 55. And if you've missed some of those, I encourage you to listen to them because they really have a lot of valuable information about modals for you to learn. We do have a few more categories of modals to talk about before we finish. Frequency, probability, future situations, including promises and threats, and finally, imaginary situations. Let's start with frequency. Frequency just means how often something happens. If something has high frequency, it happens often. If something has low frequency, it happens less often. Normally, we use words like often or rarely or never to talk about frequency, and those are not verbs, but it can happen that we use a verb to express frequency. Let's start with verbs that we use to talk about relatively low frequency, and from there, move towards higher frequency. We'll start with can. We generally use can to talk about events that happen from time to time in the present, more often than seldom, but less often than your usual sometimes. There's a small nuance or detail here, which is that we generally use can to refer to events or actions that, even if they're not super frequent, do have a serious impact or effect. Here are three examples. 1. Mrs. Davis's tests can be very hard. This means that her tests are difficult from time to time, and that difficulty is something that you really do notice. 2. It can get hot here in the summer. This means that from time to time, it gets very hot, and when it does happen, it's very noticeable. 3rd and last, she can get pretty angry sometimes. This means that from time to time, she gets angry, and when she is angry, be careful. Now, if we want to express the same idea of mid to low frequency of an event or action that is notable or has an impact when it happens, but we want to talk about the past instead of the present, then we use could. I'm going to just recycle some of the previous examples. I have the right to be lazy from time to time. We all do. 1, her tests could be pretty hard. 2, in my city, it could snow even in the spring. 3rd and last, she could get home from work pretty late. There are two more modal verbs that we use to talk about frequency. The first is will. Of course, everyone knows that you can use will to talk about the future, but native speakers also sometimes use will to talk about a typical phenomenon. A phenomenon is a repeating event considered to be interesting, notable, or impactful by the people who see it. This definition is actually similar to the one you can find on Wiktionary definition number 5 for the word phenomenon. I have to give credit there. So, the fact that it rains heavily every day in the summer is a phenomenon. Or if the sky becomes green before a tornado, that is a phenomenon too. If animals act crazy when there's a full moon, that is a phenomenon. If my friend Christian drinks a cappuccino and an apple juice after every single dinner, that is a phenomenon. I have a map of the world on the wall, and every time I go to a new place, I put a small star on the map where I visited. That is also a phenomenon, me putting that star on the wall. So, more often than not, these phenomena are actions that continue for some time. This is not the same thing as future simple will again. 5 examples. 1, it will rain for days and days without stopping during the rainy season in India. 2, Ryan will just keep talking and talking if you let him. 3, my dad will wake up and fall asleep for hours in front of the TV. True story, although he also is extremely fit. 4, oh God, the neighbor's dogs will just stand by the fence and bark at me for hours. Another true story. 5th and last, my dad's friend Jason will sit and read the Greek classics for hours and hours and drink cup after cup of strong coffee. True story. Actually, my dad's friend, this guy, he drank so much coffee that he wasn't drinking just cup after cup, he drank pot after pot. You know, when you have a drip coffee machine and you have the big glass container that the coffee drips into, he drank pot after pot of strong coffee. And at some point he became paralyzed from drinking so much coffee, was laying on the floor. He lay on the floor for, I don't know, maybe 30, 45 minutes before his strength began to return and he was able to move again. So, were these examples high or low or medium or undefined frequency? I would say that they are something else, often enough, again, to be called a phenomenon. Also, all of the phenomena I described are things that continue for a significant amount of time. Okay, that's enough of will. You may also be surprised, though, to learn that there's a past tense form of will. The past tense form of will is would, and we use it to talk about events that happened routinely in the past. These could be notable or interesting habits, or things that just happened often. Three examples. 1. It would snow a lot every winter when we were growing up. 2. My car would always make a ton of black smoke every time I drove it, so I took it to a mechanic. 3rd and last. When I was a kid, we would play outside all day without our parents worrying about where we were. So what was the frequency in these examples? I would say undefined. It could be often, it could be relatively infrequent, but there was some repetition. That's the key. So let's go to the next category of meaning, which is pretty similar to frequency. The next category is probability. The first kind of probability we have is a kind of undefined or unclear probability, where we're saying that an event is possible, but we really add no detail to it. The verb we use in this situation is may. 3 examples. 1. The train may arrive late. 2. The sky is very gray now, but it may get sunny later. 3rd and last. I don't know if we should tell him. He may get angry. In fact, the probability that may talks about, the fact that it's so undefined, that when we add not to it, it really doesn't change the meaning. 3 more examples, this time with not. 1. The train may arrive late, or it may not. 2. Sure, it may not rain, but let's bring our umbrellas just in case. 3rd and last. Her moods are so unpredictable, anything you say may or may not make her angry. Okay, now that we have done undefined probability, we have 3 other verbs of probability left over. Let's start with the verbs that refer to the highest probability and move down from there. We use must to talk about the highest probability, the kind of probability where we are either sure something is true or will happen, or there's only a very, very small doubt about it. 3 examples. 1. You've been working since 3 a.m. You must be tired. 2. It's so hot outside. You must want a cold drink. 3rd and last. She can speak 6 languages. She must be very smart. Okay, moving into slightly lower probabilities, we have could, which we use to talk about medium probability, where we think that the chances of something happening and of it not happening are about the same. 3 examples. 1. He could already know. 2. Yes, that could be a problem. 3rd and last, she hated her job, so it could be a good thing that she was fired. Next, we have might, which we use to express medium to very low probability. This time, 4 examples. 1. Sure, you might win the lottery and you might become a pro basketball player, but for now, you need to work and earn money like everyone else. 2. We might go on holiday this summer, but we're not sure. 3. He might not know that you called him. He was out of the country for 3 weeks. 4th and last, sure, you might get COVID from someone on the bus. You might get bitten by a snake if you go swimming in a lake. You might get in a plane crash if you travel by air. If you make a campfire, the smoke might give you lung cancer. But if you stay home and do nothing because it's safer, you surely will have a boring life that wasn't worth living. So I think this longer example demonstrates the very low probability side of might quite well. Okay, there is one more modal of probability, and that is should, which you can use instead of if. Should in this meaning is a bit more specific than if. We use should to talk about relatively low probability events that, if they do happen, can have a serious impact or effect. 3 examples. 1. Should you have any problems, call me at this number. 2. Should you lose your key card, you can request a new one at the hotel's reception desk. 3rd and last. Should anyone have any questions, don't be afraid to ask me. Let's move on now to the next category, which is future situations, promises, and threats. The first verb we use to talk about the future is, of course, will. And we use will when we want to express a high level of certainty that something will happen. 3 examples. 1. Everything will be fine. 2. The train will arrive soon. Let's go to the platform. 3rd and last. He will be very happy when he sees that you've gotten good grades on your tests. We use will also to make promises. Remember from what I said about future and imaginary situations that we use will to express a high certainty that something, That high certainty is the reason that we also use will to make promises. 3 examples. I will pay you back next week. 2. Don't worry, we will be on time next time. 3rd and last. If you cook, I will wash the dishes. We can also use will to make threats, which, if you think about it, are just a type of ugly promise. Three examples. If you don't pay us tomorrow, we will break your leg. Two. If you keep coming to work late all the time, I will fire you. Third and last, if you don't cook, I will, and you don't want me to do that. You may be surprised to learn that will, the verb for talking about a future, also has a past tense form. I think we talked about this a bit before, but same phenomenon here. The past tense form of will is would, and we use would to talk about events or actions that, from the perspective of the past, still had not happened yet. You can see this use of would almost always, or generally, in written English. Two examples. One, in 1960, Singapore was a small, poor city, but it would later become a very rich and important place. Second and last, Barack Obama was born in 1961 and would later become the first black president of the United States. Let's move on to our last category, which is imaginary situations. If we want to talk about situations that are not real, we also use would. Three examples. I would not share that information. Two, if we had more free time, we would read more. Third and last, if I had $1 million, I would give it to poor people. Okay, if you've listened from the start of this mini-course, from episode 52 until now, you have now heard every meaning of every modal verb. That is amazing, and I thank you for listening. Before this episode is finished, though, we do need to do a bit more work. We need to talk about how to make questions and negative statements using all of the modals. This is actually really easy to do with modal verbs. To make a negative statement, you just need to add the word not after your modal verb. All negative statements use the same formula or construction. S-A-N. The S means subject, or person doing an action. A means auxiliary, in this case a modal verb, and N means not. So again, subject, auxiliary, not. It will really help you if you look at the PDF I will include as a table on my personal website later this week. 11 examples. I can't come to work tomorrow. 2. We can't speak Chinese. 3. She couldn't answer my question. 4. I couldn't get out of bed this morning. 5. You shouldn't drive so fast. 6. You shouldn't talk that way about your friends. 7. You mustn't drive without a license. 8. We mustn't spend so much money every week. 9. My ex-girlfriend won't answer my calls. 10. Our clients won't pay us. 11th and last, they might not agree to our offer. Okay, now what about yes-no questions? To make a yes-no question, you use the formula A-S. That's auxiliary, so the verb is first, and then S for the subject. 8 examples. Can I call you tomorrow? 2. Can you drive me to the airport, please? 3. Can he speak French? 4. Could you please pass me the salt? 5. May I make a telephone call? 6. Should we bring a gift to the party? 7. Will the pizza get here soon? 8th and last, would you like to go to the movies together? Now, what about questions that start with a question word? Those use the same A-S formula, but add a Q-U for question word. So the whole formula, or construction, is Q-U-A-S. Question word, auxiliary, subject. 9 examples. 1. How can I help you? 2. When can we meet again? 3. How can I fix this problem? 4. When could we meet? 5. What should I do? 6. What should we wear? 7. Who should I invite to the party? 8. Why should I believe you? 9th and last, where would you like to go for dinner? Okay, that is all for this week. In next week's episode, we will start working on the auxiliary verbs that are not modal verbs. And after those episodes, I'm not sure yet exactly how many episodes we will need, but certainly not more than 3, we will be ready to work directly on the verb tenses. Thanks for listening, everyone. It means the world to me. See you next Monday.